Jeff said, I asked Jeff how I should start my sermon. He said, start with Hey Barb. But don't worry, your regularly scheduled comedy routine will return after brief messages. Let's pray. Lord, I come before you this morning and I just ask for your words. You walked me through an interesting journey this week and I hope that I can share it. And I just ask that you open hearts and open ears so that whatever's from you find a home and whatever's from me just kind of fade away. Because then it works. Bless us as we hear your word and hear my words and the collection of the two. Amen. For the last year, Jeff has been telling us about love. And in a previous sermon, I mentioned that if he continued preaching on love for the rest of his life, that would be okay. Because love is so foundational that if it was the subject of every sermon from now on, we would still cover everything we needed to know about God. Starting at love, you can get to any other subject in the Bible. It is the root. It is the seed from which the whole rest of the tree grows. From 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I had a 10-minute story to share right there, and I had to cut it at 2 in the morning this morning because I was 15 minutes into my sermon before I even got to my first point, and that didn't work. But if you want to hear a great story, just come talk to me after because it's amazing. All right. After a year-long sermon series, it's good to remember that pastors and preachers are human beings. So while Jeff rests up and gets ready to take on the next 365 days of biblical scholarship, you get me for 3 weeks. And I wanted to take a minute to talk about that. There are a lot of great things to come from me being up here for a few weeks, apart from giving Jeff some time alone with God, which everybody needs. It allows me to try my hand at doing a whole series of sermons, which I've never done before. And that will no doubt be a growing experience for me. And to be perfectly honest, it's already been a growing experience for me. And this morning I said to Liang, I quit after this. I'm not doing this anymore. Because I grew so much in a week that I just couldn't handle it. And it was too much. But, you know, it's best not to make super emotional decisions while you're in that state. We'll see what happens when we're done with this series. It also lets you hear a different voice, with perhaps a different perspective. The wonderful thing is that Jeff and I agree on so many things, but yet we still have our differences. We're each unique. During Bible study this past week, he prayed something interesting. In regards to my sermon, he asked God to have it be an expression of you through his personality. So, an expression of God, but through me. And I love that phrase, and I'd never considered it before. Each of us is an expression of God through our personality. And I could talk to you for a long time about that, but maybe we'll circle back around to that 2 weeks from now. That's what's called foreshadowing. For now, I want to tell you where we're going over the next 3 weeks. The three subjects we'll be talking about before I go sit back in my chair over there are paradoxes, understanding, and individual responsibility. These subjects don't seem super connected, but as I was preparing this series, what I realized is that they are a circle. And the problem with a circle is that there's no start. It's a circle. So I had to decide where to jump in. And I could preach a whole sermon on the decision of where to jump in, but instead I will just say that we're starting with paradoxes. And I want to precursor it by saying that paradoxes are extremely complicated. So I promise you that this sermon, well, I shouldn't promise it, but I think that this sermon will be the most complicated of the three. So stick with me, because when you get to the end, which is actually just the beginning, because we'll come full circle, it will make sense, I hope. Before we go any further, we need to understand the difference between paradoxes and contradictions. And this is a big point, and we'll talk a little bit more about it next week. But for a while, I didn't know this difference, and this difference has made all the difference in the world to me. So I want to start with the definitions of the two things. Contradiction, asserting the contrary or opposite of, denying directly and categorically. A contradiction is something that if you have something over here and something over here, they can't coexist. It doesn't work. So they contradict each other. Only one of those two things can be true. It just doesn't work. But here's the definition of paradox. A statement or proposition that seems self-contradictory or absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. The difference between a contradiction and a paradox is nothing more than the fact that a paradox looks like a contradiction, but it's not. And that's tricky. And there are a lot of reasons that's tricky. And this is where my notes end, because this is where a story starts. As I was preparing this past week, this sermon on paradoxes, and I precursor that with, I love paradoxes. Paradoxes and I get along fantastically well, because in my weird creative brain where things just jumble all around and run free, paradoxes are fine for me. But I had an opportunity to sit down with Ben and Kyle and Liang this past week, and I got to share with them a little bit about what I wanted to talk to you about. And when I did, they each came back to me in a very unique way and showed me a little bit of God through their personality. And it wasn't until after that dinner that Jeff had brought up that idea, but then I saw it so clearly as I was working. So first Kyle, I'm telling them about paradoxes, and Kyle scrunches up his face like Kyle does, and he makes that Kyle noise that's like, oh. And I love that noise, because what I've come to understand is that right after that, I'm going to get some sort of so deep philosophical insight that it's going to blow me away. And so now, if I hear that and I see Kyle doing that, I'm like, yes, what's coming? I can't wait for this. And what I think is useful to understand is part of what that is when Kyle does that, I think, is that he's trying to put it into terms that's not going to crush me. Because he could easily do that. Without the filter of love, Kyle could just wreck me with all the things that he knows. But he doesn't. He holds it back a little bit from me. And so I really appreciate that. And what Kyle said to me was, well, yeah, also, the thing to keep in mind is we're on this side of the veil. So some things that are really out there in God's realm, we can't get to. The only time that we can see those things, those paradoxical things, is when he comes to us. And that was something that I desperately needed to know and understand. Because otherwise you would have had me up here for however long, just rambling about very intellectual things without realizing that until you have God showing you those things, it's just not going to work. And then Liang, talking to her about paradoxes, and Liang's response was, well, yeah, obviously. And I love that about her. I am convinced that if Jesus came back tomorrow and came to our door and knocked on it, and she opened it, and he's out there raising the dead in our front yard, she would be like, duh, that's what he does. Because there's such a clarity to her, and it astounds me every time. She just gets it, and it's so obvious that she doesn't have to worry like I do, I think, sometimes. And so I appreciated that confidence that she had. And then Ben. And I don't want to take anything away from Kyle and Liang, but for some reason, I think Ben was the one I needed most. Because Ben said no. Ben just straight up shut me down. It was like, nope, that's wrong. You're crazy. And it took me aback, because I was like, maybe I wasn't clear. Let me try again. And so I started explaining what I was talking about. And he was like, no. No. If someone is 100% good, they can't be 100% bad. Because that adds up to 200%. And I was like, well, no, you know, you just have both together. And so then I started thinking more on that because it gave me an insight into how Ben thinks and how other people think that's not me, which was super helpful. Because in Ben's mind, 100% and 100% equals 200% every time. And in my own mind, sometimes it's okay for them to equal 100%, which is weird. But then I went back and I started thinking and I'm like, okay, so I presented some paradoxes to Ben and he keeps shutting them down. So I just need better paradoxes. Clearly I can win. And there's that part of me that still needs to die to wanting to win, but it's still there. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to beat Ben at this. Just you watch. And I started searching. And I started seeking, and what could I find that was a paradox that Ben was going to be like stumped by? I'm like, yeah, I'll get this. And slowly over time, as that part of me kind of diminished and the part of me that really just wanted answers started coming back up, what I realized was something that I had read by the author Timothy Keller. And if you don't know Tim Keller, Kyle introduced me to him a while ago. He's a great preacher. He knows what he's talking about, and he has such a great way of putting things. And in his book on preaching, he presented a concept of every sermon should be about Jesus. No matter what you're preaching on, it should come back to that, because that's the central theme. It's that root thing that I talked about earlier. And so what I realized was that all along that I'm searching these tiny little paradoxes in the Bible, which the Bible's full of, the biggest one, the one that was the most important, was the one that I needed all along. And so I went to Ben, and here's the great conclusion. I got my beautiful paradox that was going to beat him, and I went to him, and I said, Ben, how about Jesus? He was both human and God, 100%. And Ben kind of got this smile on his face, and he said, well, that's a mystery. And I couldn't even win then. Because it is. It is a mystery. Paradoxes are full of mystery. And that's the thing that I hope that I can convey to you about them. Because even though I wanted to present all these different things about paradoxes, the truth of the matter is, I don't need to do that. What I need to do is to show you that they exist and that mysteries exist, and that's okay. It's all right. Part of my 10-minute story at the beginning, and I'm kind of going to wrap this up with this. The first verse I read you, only verse that's going to be in this part, was 1 Corinthians 13:13. And again, I remind you, it's, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And as I was preparing the sermon and I found this verse to put in there, a bunch of things clicked into place, which is the 10-minute story that I can't share right now. But the beautiful thing about it is, before I even looked and before I ever intended, I went back a paragraph and I read where this verse falls, because you should always do that. And if I am up here every time saying it, I want to remind everybody, don't take scripture out of context. It belongs there for a reason. Read everything around it. It's important. So I went back a paragraph, and what I found was the rest of my sermon, because that's how God works, and he does these things. So I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 13:8-13, and here is why paradoxes exist, and here is why it's okay that they do. 1 Corinthians 13:8-13. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we only see a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. This passage that talks about where there is knowledge, it will pass away, and no more prophecy and all this stuff, it's not saying there won't be knowledge. It will be saying it will be completed. You'll have it all. There will be no need for partial knowledge anymore. You won't need one person over here. You don't need Ben to tell me one thing and Kyle to tell me another, because each of us gets all of it. But right now, we don't. Right now, we only have part. And you should explore that part, and you should enjoy that part. But if you ever come to a place where something seems to be missing, guess what it is? It says it right here. What's missing is the part that we'll get after this. And it's coming, and it will be amazing, and I can't wait to see it. But for now, we deal with what we have. I'm always open to talk about paradoxes or contradictions or anything that you find that confuses you. And I can't promise I'll have the answers, but I will help you look for them. And I'm convinced that the answers are there. And next week, I think we'll talk a little bit more about those answers that are there. But for now, I just want us to go out of here in peace, knowing that it's going to be okay, and that eventually we will have all the pieces. Amen.